What in the wide, wide world of sports is going on here?
Broadcasting live from the greatest city in the world.
Austin, Texas, baby.
It's Bucky and Aaron.
You guys want to play some twos?
You know what? Actually, we're kind of in the middle of a conversation.
B&E.
What's B&E?
Bucky Godbolt, Aaron Hogan on the Horn, 104.9 AM 1260 and hornfm.com with the Longhorns play and Austin Talks Sports.
Wake up, everybody, no more sleeping in bed. No more back to thinking, time for thinking ahead. The world has changed so very much from what it used to be. There's so much hatred, war and poverty. Oh, oh, oh. Wake up, all the teachers.
Oh, wake them up, get them up, get them out. It is Monday on B&E. That's right, showing people on the road. It's not just any Monday, it is Big 12 football meeting. Five teams today with coaches and players, five more tomorrow, including the Longhorns. We'll be here to cover it for you. All the way through, 4 hours from us, then Trey and BK for three, and then Rod Babers will wrap it up with a couple of hours of conversation as the Big 12 descends here on our location right here. It is the Ford Center, the Star Complex in Frisco, Texas, for the second year here. And unlike last year, Buck, everything's open now. The Omni Hotel is open. All the bars and restaurants around the Star Complex are open and up and running. It's like another little city here north of Dallas. Jerry Jones has built it, and it's a pretty impressive complex. It's year two for the Big 12 here in Frisco. We're thrilled to be here today. If you're just getting ready for college football, it's Texas Tech, TCU, Kansas, Oklahoma, and Iowa State, the five teams here today.
Or more impressive than anything, E, is the fact that Cliff Kingsbury's name is dead smack in front of me.
Yeah, we're going to get a –
which does something
special.
I'm going to have to go sit up there. Yeah. I need to get a picture of me sitting up where Cliff Kingsbury's seat is today.
Yes, we will do that in the next break. We will do that and take a photo and put that out on all the social medias.
But what a place. What a place. You know, last year, as you said, this time, you know, things were new. Only place I knew to go to was the 7-Eleven down the street here. Everything
already
is –
already been there.
It's all brand new. I hit it this morning. But yesterday afternoon, last night, I found a Chinese food place that's absolutely delicious around the corner, just around the corner from where we're staying, which is – the hotel's very nice. I love where we're staying. I love the beds there. I love turning that air conditioning and turning down those curtains down and sleeping like a bear in hibernation. But
well, did you put your remote control in a condom?
I did. I already
done?
Did. Yeah. I didn't actually put it in the condom. I actually took the washcloth in the bathroom and really, really wiped it off. I did. I've got some
disinfectant.
I got some stuff, the stuff in your hands, the Purell or whatever.
Oh, I see.
And so I put it all over there.
Short out the remote control.
I just don't mess around. I don't touch rails. And I try to come down steps and stuff without touching rails these days. I just don't want to be sick. But I want to say good morning to the soldiers at Fort Hood, Texas, the soldiers in the state of Texas, and all those that fight for us each and every day. Thank you so very much for the great job you do. And may I ask for the rest of this time forward that I put into all you great veterans out there also.
No question. I like that addition. And I will say to you folks, hydrate yourselves. It's July in Austin, but a blazing hot week on tap in Austin and here in Dallas. 99 today, 101 tomorrow. And that 101 tomorrow, Buck, will start a string of triple-digit weather this week. So it's going to be warm.
Up here in all this cement?
Oh, man, we're going to be hot here. But we're inside. We're in air conditioning.
It's beautiful.
No need to feel sorry for us. We're doing great, and I know you are as well, because college football season is inside 50 days now. I believe today makes 47 days to the start of the college football season, maybe 48. Either way, this really signifies the launch of the college football season. And all five of these teams today with intriguing storylines. Gary Patterson and TCU, kind of underappreciated again, but he's got maybe the best – maybe I don't want to say maybe. I think on paper he's got the best defense in the Big 12 coming back, including the Big 12's defensive preseason player of the year, Ben Benagu, the defensive lineman, great pass rusher. You know, when he can rush the passer and get after it, he's got the great secondary. I mean, it's a tremendous unit at TCU. So we'll hear from Gary Patterson today, talk TCU football, and they're bringing their quarterback, Sean Robinson, the kid from DeSoto.
He really means a lot to him.
Well, he's the story. Because most people anticipate if Sean Robinson is You know, because he's on an unproven commodity, much like many of the quarterbacks in the Big 12. If Sean Robinson is up to snuff and is a good player in Sonny Cumbie's offense, that TCU team can be one of the favorites. Of course, Oklahoma, the prohibitive favorite to win the Big 12 with Lincoln Riley in year two, but there is no Baker Mayfield this year, and they're not bringing a quarterback to OU or from OU to Big 12 football media days. Obviously, the Kyler Murray story will be discussed a lot, and that will be a big storyline today. Matt Campbell and Iowa State, really interesting team. Went up start last year, went 8-5 last year, Buck, and they had that they had some upsets, beat Oklahoma last year. They are a giant killer and a team that I think in Matt Campbell's third year he feels like can really make some hay in the Big 12. And then of course Cliff Kingsbury, your man crush and heartthrob, and Texas Tech. Cliff's offense, you realize this for Texas Tech, and we'll hear from Cliff and the Red Raiders today. They returned just 5 starters on their offense. They lost. And just 31% of their offensive production, Buck. They lost more, the fourth most offensive production of any team in college football, in the FBS, and their strength might be their defense coming in, which I know sounds like crazy, but for once, their defense might be the strength because the Red Raiders returned 9 starters from a defense that improved as the year went on last year.
They'll find ways to score. They always do. They're going to score. But if you tell me that this defense is now really up to snuff, and ready to compete in a Big 12 that doesn't have a lot of defense. But if this defense can be average, I feel like Cliff Kingsbury always seems to find a way to get offense. They find ways to score.
And, of course, Texas will be here tomorrow, so we'll talk plenty of Texas today and tomorrow. But that's one of the things, if you're a Texas fan or, you know, put it into TCU's or Texas Tech side of things, or TCU, in this conference where there's so much transition at quarterback, if you can play some high-level defense, you should be able to find ways to score points.
And, yes.
You know, Cliff Kingsbury, the kind of plug-and-play offense that they run, they've got great athletes on that side of the ball. It's just unproven commodities on the offensive side. I'm sure we'll hear a confident Cliff Kingsbury today because you know this. You coached a long time, Buck. If you come in like Gary Patterson will and you've got a rock-solid defense, you feel great about that side of the ball, his question at TCU is going to be offensive line. So we're going to have to ask him about a rebuilt group up front. But so a lot of confidence to be had. Think about this, Buck. Do you realize that coming into this Big 12 football media days, day one, with 25 starts between Shane Buechele and Sam Ehlinger, 19 for Shane. Sam has 6 starts last year. Longhorns have the most starting and playing experience of any team coming into the Big 12.
Yeah, and I
most
hate
most starting or playing and 25 starts.
I mean, it's perfect because what it does for me, it makes me feel like I'm still right on target of where this team will be, not this coming season, but the following season. That looms really big for me. When they get a bunch of these starts again this year, Ian, I know people are saying, no, we got to do it this year. No, you had to continue to improve this year. That's what's important to me. As long as this team is going in the right direction and we see things like, wow, the special teams has gotten better, guess what they know how to do on offense?
Offensive line's gotten better.
The offensive line.
Ball.
Yeah. Then I think this team is on target not only for being a part of winning this conference, but a part of national things, it's growing. Now it tells me that now the Longhorns are starting to grow.
I think we're in the same mindset on Texas, but I think our phraseology is a little different. I mean, I feel like Texas should compete for the Big 12 this year.
That because of the way it is.
That doesn't put you in the national conversation.
No, okay.
But, yes, I do think if Texas can compete for the Big 12 and be in that conversation with TCU and Oklahoma for the top spot in the Big 12, then, yes, next year with all the experience you're talking about. Now, they do have to replace a lot of defensive players come next year.
But you believe in the defensive coordinator.
Well, whether he's here or not, but that's down the road because if they play rock-solid defense again this year, he'll be a man that is in demand in college football. But, yes, I mean, that's kind of the evolution of a program, right? I mean, mm-hmm. if they do compete for a Big 12 and go after it this year, try to get themselves into that championship game, because they do have some experience at quarterback and an improved offense to go with Todd Orlando's defense, then, yes, next year you can start talking about bigger things, bigger picture conversations. But you're right. Everyone is waiting in wait-and-see mode for Texas. Let's see it. But is this the year Texas steps forward under Tom Herman?
A big move unto itself is the fact that I think they have one of the premier young kickers in America that is coming to school here, which means an awful lot. For a long time, Texas has been actually known for kickers. By the way, folks, I know it doesn't seem that way, and the struggles at the end of Mack Brown and into Charlie Strong. But this group at Texas, for a long, long time, had some pretty great kickers.
Yeah,
Justin Tucker, you name it. I mean, they had really solid kickers. I think they're back to that again. Those are points. Those are points where when you're losing, when you start getting combined scores, and we did that last year, my goodness, some of those – you actually can go get a hot dog when there's a 40-yard kick or a 35-yard kick.
And you called the high school games for this young kid, Dicker, out of Lake Travis. He is a tremendous leg, tremendous young kicker. So, obviously, Texas will be front and center tomorrow. We'll talk football all morning. We'll talk football all day, which is music to the ears of a lot of Horn listeners. Before we dive into the football and continue the football conversation live here from the Star Complex in Frisco, let's get some headlines. Get you caught up on the busy weekend on a good, bad, and ugly Monday here on B&E. Let's get to the news. Caliber Collision brings you the news from the Ticket City Update Desk. We'll start overseas and around the globe with soccer, where the French have been crowned the world champions, or earned the world championship of soccer yesterday, defeating the underdog Croatians 4-2 in the World Cup final in Moscow. Les Bleus capture their second World Cup title, their first in 20 years. They hosted the tournament in 98, of course, and won it. Great match yesterday, featured everything you could have imagined, an own goal, a huge goalkeeper gaffe, pitch invaders, and, of course, the teen sensation Kylian Mbappe scoring the fourth and final goal. What a young star he's going to be for the French. They are the champions of soccer for the next 4 years. To baseball, facing his former team for the first time ever, Justin Verlander had a puzzling day yesterday for the Astros down at Minute Maid Park. Verlander racked up double-digit strikeouts, dominant with 12 punch-outs, but the team with the fewest home runs in the American League, the Detroit Tigers, hammered four big flies off the right-hander in a 6-3 win at Minute Maid Park. He becomes just the fourth pitcher in MLB history to give up four or more home runs in a game that he struck out 12 or more. Astros, though, do take 2 out of 3 from the Tigers on that series over the weekend. By the way, Verlander, along with five of his fellow Astros and manager A.J. Hinch and his coaching staff, now headed to the All-Star Game in our nation's capital, Washington, D.C. It'll be Verlander along with fellow hurler hurlers Garrett Cole, and the newly added Charlie Morton was added on Friday, as well as Jose Altuve, George Springer, and Alex Bregman headed to the All-Star Game. Bregman, of course, will be making his first trip, and he'll be part of the Home Run Derby tonight. Leads the Astros with a career-high 20 home runs. He'll be part of that tonight, the only American League participant in that Home Run Derby tonight in D.C. Rangers fell in Baltimore 6-5 yesterday. They dropped 2 out of 3 over the weekend at Camden Yard. They've dropped 7 of their last 9. Sin-Choo Chu did open the game with a walk. He extends his club record streak of games on base to 51. He is the lone all-star for the Rangers headed to D.C. Round Rock lost to Oklahoma City 11-1 at Dell Diamond yesterday. How about Wimbledon? Novak Djokovic won the men's title for the fourth time. Quite a comeback for him, comfortably beating the depleted Kevin Anderson. Angelique Gerber, meanwhile, neutralized Serena Williams to win the women's title. In golf, Michael Kim won his first PGA event. As the 25-year-old shot a final round 66 on Sunday, he wins the John Deere Classic by a record-setting 8 strokes. And finally, on the week where golf will tee off the third major of the season with the British Open, and with former Longhorn Jordan Spieth as its defending champion, former Dallas Cowboys quarterback, current broadcaster, and aspiring pro golfer Tony Romo rallied from 4 points back to win his first American Century Championship at Lake Tahoe yesterday. The celebrity event in Tahoe, Tony Romo, your champion. And that's
what a miracle.
This segment brought to you by Caliber Collision. No matter how it happened, Caliber Collision makes it like it never did. Rated among the highest in customer satisfaction, restoring the rhythm of your life. Caliber Collision.
Yeah, Romo, baby, bringing it from Tahoe.
And I am not getting off of my Tiger Woods is winning the British Open, the Open Championship.
Well, I was reading about this, and I was thinking about you. Yes, I was reading yesterday and thinking about my partner, Bucky Godbolt. But no, they're talking about how crispy the fairways are, that it's been very dry.
Run, run, run.
They're at Carnoustie for the British Open. Remember, go to the website, hornfm.com, get signed up for our Fantasy Golf Challenge. You can win fame, fortune, and glory and be named the most brilliant golf mind in Austin,
especially on this one,
or all over the country, wherever you're listening. All you got to do is go to hornfm.com and pick your 9 golfers, and we'll have a winner come next Monday with the lowest total under par of your 9 golfers of anyone else. And yeah, you can pick Tiger Woods. He'll be in that mix. And you've been picking Tiger Woods to win this event since January.
Yep.
And I was rooting, and the greens are very, I mean, the fairways are very crispy, and everyone's hitting irons and stingers all over the place because the ball's rolling and rolling and rolling and rolling because there's no grass to stop it. The fairways are actually faster than the greens right now.
Love it.
So Tiger's trying out this new fairway
metal
fairway iron that he's hitting. Oh yeah, this little TaylorMade deal. Of course, he's never won at Carnoustie, but he's won the British Open on several occasions, and typically puts the driver in the bag, and that's being his biggest problem. Making consistent putts for Tiger, and then the driving accuracy off the tee, but he's got the stinger out, and he's stinging
up. Well, I'll tell you this. You have to be creative in the British Open. You really do. And you have to be creative on the greens. And those little 4 and 5 footers, they have moves. There's a lot of movement in those putts. And if Tiger is still into that point where he can't make those 6 and 5 footers and 4 footers for par, that's going to be a problem. But if he's creative around the greens, which he really is, he does some nifty stuff around the greens, then I think he can really be in it because he's going to sting the ball out there. He's used to hitting stingers. That's fine with him.
No doubt. So that'll tee off on Thursday. Obviously, the next 2 days will be all about football, and really the next 47 days will be all about football for us.
One thing we got to get out of the way is what a World Cup game that was for France. And
yes.
What a dominating fashion, as most people thought. That I thought Croatia would be tired and worn out. And
they played a lot of matches.
They played a lot of minutes, too. Lots of extra minutes. And France looked like the team that was just ready to go out and take a championship, and they did.
Well, that's a young team, too. I mean, 4 years from now in Qatar, I mean, they're going to be the favorites again because this young Mbappe who – can we hear this from Adam Wagner, by the way, producing the show, our veterans, speaking of the veterans, as BK will be live here with Trey Elling live at Big 12 Football Media Days presented by Reliable Automotive. But Wags is back in the Horn headquarters. He's got this for us. The Mbappe goal, this was the fourth and final goal, putting the French up 4-1.
Here's Mbappe! Oh, my word! The first teenage World Cup final goal since Pelé himself.
Pelé himself.
That's good stuff right there.
Yeah,
now.
Man, that French team's good. I mean, you know, Croatia did look tired, and but, you know, France, I mean, I think a lot of folks, once you saw the group play come through, it was France and Belgium were the best two teams. And then if you saw the France-Belgium game, people called it boring, but it was just such high-level defense and high-level soccer. And, of course, Belgium beat England on Saturday. They're the runner-ups, and they won the third-place game, so they finished in third technically. But, I mean, I think the best two teams in the world right now are Belgium and France, the border war there. And, you know, that's where it is. And France, clearly – the World Cup champs for 2018,
and also in other sports, they're going to have to do something at Wimbledon because I watched the match between Nadal.
Well, on a good, bad, and ugly Monday, that was bad.
Dude, you can't do that. Then you can't ask those guys to go play on Sunday, right? I mean, that was how do you do that?
They played 5 sets and then to 26.
It was over 5 hours.
Yeah, because and again, that's the men's game. When we left the show on Friday, that match was kind of halfway through, and they'd gone 7-6, 7-6. But when you've got you know, big guy 6'10 in Isner against Anderson, this guy 6'8, Buck, these guys are serving the ball 142 miles an hour. No one can break serve. So it's just going to go back and forth. Nobody can break the other guy's serve. I mean, so that's an issue, and it's one of the reasons a lot of people like the women's game more because there's more serve and volley and a little more rally going on. It's not the power game. But yes, I mean, I think even after the match, remember John Isner was also in that famous match several years ago that went so long.
He's been in back-to-back matches in Wimbledon
that are that long, right? And because you can't break serve. So if you can't break serve, it just keeps going back and forth. And you can argue that it's good tennis, but you can also argue that it's boring.
It was great tennis by Djokovic and Nadal. That was.
The next two guys come in.
That was great tennis. Yeah. But it's just too long for them. It's too much wear and tear.
Well, both of those, because again, you know, yeah, they got to.
There was a curfew. There was a curfew Saturday,
and you got to have a tiebreaker system, right?
Yes.
Both Anderson and Isner had a good idea after that. They went 26-24 in the fifth. Well, how about if we get to 12-12 in the final set, let's have a sudden death, essentially. Let's get this thing over with and call it a
I would agree on that. Not the win by two thing. It's just too much.
Right. So the world's games were on display, of course, with the World Cup. And as this text says, this is great. No World Cup for 4 more years. As one of our non-soccer fans is there. But I thought it was a fun month of soccer. The French take the crown. And, of course, Wimbledon. I think everybody was rooting for Serena coming off having a baby. But Angelique Gerber, the German, with the win.
Serena was fine. She said, "I'm going in a positive direction." I would say so.
Oh yeah, I mean, come on. My wife's had 3 kids. I mean, she wasn't preparing for a Grand Slam. My wife kept herself in pretty darn good shape through all of our kids. But I mean, think about that. She's still preparing for a Grand Slam while, you know, nursing, which is crazy. But that was a great story from the weekend. The good, bad, and ugly. We'll talk some baseball in the All-Star game, but it'll be a lot of football today, no doubt. That's why we're here for Big 12 Football Media Days. With these 5 teams today and 5 more tomorrow, including the Longhorns, with Tom Herman in year 2 at Big 12 Football Media.
Yeah, no doubt about it.
We'd love to take your good, bad, and uglies from the weekend. What'd you see that you loved? What wasn't so hot, including this says, I bet Justin Verlander had a bad day because it came out the news that he knocked up Kate Upton. Yeah, that was a breaking piece of news over the weekend. Kate Upton is with child.
Oh, he's very happy.
Yes.
He took the mound already happy before he even took the mound. So,
well, I have a story for you. It's kind of a salacious gossip story, so I'll save it for a little bit. But I got to tell you about a story about two neighbors in Europe. You're European, right? You claim
yes,
to be.
Yes, of course.
I got to get you that story, but it has to do with Kate Upton getting pregnant. But we'll relate that to it. But yes, Justin Upton.
Sweet.
I'm sure he practiced a lot to get that done. I'm sure he said, "Now we got to try again. We got to try again.
And again. And again and again."
And here they are.
Yes.
And here they are, right, with child. As Verlander and six, he along with a bunch of Astros are headed to the All-Star game. We'll talk about that over the next couple days, Astros. I want to thank my friend Reed Ryan, the president of the Houston Astros. We went down to the Astros game on Friday night. I told you I was a driving fool this weekend. Went to Houston on Friday and then attended my wife's 30th high school reunion in the Woodlands on Saturday night. That was fun. It's always fun for a spouse to go to a reunion because you don't know anyone. And your wife's running around, "Oh, my gosh." She hadn't seen people in years and years, and I'm just kind of sitting in the corner with the other spouses, you know, doing whatever.
Yeah, like, why are we here?
Why are we here?
Yeah.
But let's go to the bar. But no, I had a good time there. And then, but on Friday night, went to the Astros game, and I asked Reed for, "Hey, you got any seats?" And he's like, sure, come on down. So I go, not only do we have his seats, we're sitting like right behind the Astros dugout. Like, I'm sitting behind the camera well, and I'm sitting like I can reach out and grab George Springer. So we got to see the Friday night game that Dallas Keuchel won. Alex Bregman hit a home run. So thanks to Reed, we had a great time. The Astros had huge crowds over the weekend. They wrapped up an 11-game homestand yesterday, and the crowds were just massive. They're really having a great year, 29 games over 500, but everybody in the American League chasing the Red Sox right now. So we'll talk some baseball. All-Star Game, Midsummer Classic is here, and I'll tell you some high school reunion stories, which are fun.
Oh, I bet you those are good.
Oh, yeah, but it's all about football. It's all about football. And look at it. We are sitting dead across
from I know.
Cliff Kingsbury's podium here at Big 12 Football Media Days. And, you know, we'll have it covered for you live here. But remember, on Fox Sports Southwest, they'll have these. The coaches do their press conferences in the morning. The first thing this morning at 9:05 will be the Bob Bowlsby Big 12 State of the Conference press conference. So Bob Bowlsby will go at 9, and then the coaches begin. I believe Gary Patterson is the first coach out of the box from TCU. He'll be around, so we should have a chance to visit with him. You know, and they go in order. Gary Patterson will be the first, and so the coaches go. And then the player breakouts, where we get to talk to the players from around the Big 12 that the coaches have brought with them, will be this afternoon. So most of that sound we'll bring back with us, and we'll try to grab as much as we can. That'll be the same thing tomorrow with Tom Herman and the Longhorns. But it's Big 12 Football Media Days Year 2 here at the Star Complex in Frisco. And let me mention, Buck, on a good, bad, and ugly Monday, this place, as we get to our first time out, is tremendous. You know, we came up last year, same time of year, and it wasn't done yet. The Omni Hotel was still under construction.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of the bars and restaurants that surround this Star Complex were not open yet. But I was down here last night. I drove in and had to come get some dinner. So I came over here because we're not staying at the Omni, at the Media Hotel. We've got six rooms over there.
We're smarter.
And because a little cheaper, but we also have so many folks coming up here with all of our shows. And it's, you know, a mile away. But so came over to eat. There are a lot of cool little restaurants here. I mean, it is really a neat spot. If you're ever up here,
you're
a Cowboy fan. Heck, there were kids out here playing football on the lawn here in this turf field right outside under the big screen.
At midnight
last night, just out running around. And no, it's a cool place. They make it very accessible. Jerry Jones has.
He really has made it accessible for the public. You know, a lot of places like that, you wouldn't let kids out on that field at the place would be closed down.
Yeah.
But it's open up at midnight.
That's what they want. They want this to be like a park.
Yeah.
Jerry Jones.
They're doing a great job with it.
And, you know, there's restaurants. There's kind of a domain feel to the shops that surround this. The Omni Hotel is beautiful. So that's where we are. We'll bring it to you live. We will get you up close and personal with Texas Tech, with TCU, with Kansas, with Iowa State, and, of course, the defending champion Oklahoma Sooners are here today. It's Big 12 Football Media Days, day one of two, live here on the Horn, presented by our friends at Reliable Automotive. Keep it local, keep it reliable. With you all morning, folks. Lock it in and go all day long right here on 104.9, on 101.9 FM, AM 1260. We stream it on the Horn app and at hornfm.com.
It's Bucky and Aaron.
All right, we are live at Big 12 Football Media Days all day today, all day tomorrow here on the Horn. We're going wall to wall, only one of our local shows. Of course, we're 13 hours local every day here on the Horn for local sports conversation. The only show not here will be Chad and Kevin this afternoon, and that's only because, you know, by the time they come on at 3 in the afternoon, this thing kind of is done for the day. So we'll cover the important parts, kind of quiet and the calm before the storm here this morning. But that will ratchet up. I'm going to tweet out this picture that I just took of you at Cliff Kingsbury's podium.
It felt good.
Did it? Did you feel like you were back in your coaching days?
It kind of did. But?
But?
Cliff Kingsbury needs to win some games this year.
He does.
Or he won't have a podium here next year.
And Texas Tech may have, well, not may, on paper, they have a much stronger defense coming back than
it's hard to say that,
right,
isn't it?
Now.
It's just really,
well,
what do you think about it?
Remember, they had Pat Mahomes, and I mean, they were loaded at quarterback. Think about that back several years ago when they had Pat Mahomes and Baker Mayfield, of course, were jockeying for the job. And who was the third guy who was tremendously productive? And then, of course, Baker transferred, and Mahomes left for the NFL early. So last year it was kind of the plug-in Nick Chmielewski. Who had been in the program. He's been in the program for, he was a fifth-year senior, but he only started for one, so the experience was there. And now this is that year where they're, because of the transfers and the quarterbacks that have left early or moved, you know, there's not an experienced QB.
Yeah, we saw a left-hander last year. Then we saw Chmielewski that beat Texas in the end. So
yeah, that game, they're kind of Texas had no excuse losing. But, yeah, the quarterback competition will be open. I mean, Junior McClain Carter could be the guy, you know, in that mix. You know, you could also have the sophomore Jeff Duffy or JUCO transfer Nick Gerber. We'll hear more today on where that quarterback battle stands. But I think that's one of the themes of this 2 days is the uncertainty at quarterback. You know, who replaces, is it, you know, Kyler Murray is the assumed starter for Oklahoma, but, you know, he hasn't played and not a lot of experience. People question his size and some other things is, you know, and he's replacing one of the greatest college quarterbacks that we've ever seen in Baker Mayfield. You know.
Well, I still think, you know, and I said a couple of weeks ago, or just last week, as a matter of fact, that there's not a lot of stars in the Big 12 this year, but there really are. And two of the stars are at Oklahoma to me, because I think Rodney Anderson is one of the better players in the Big 12. I think he's the best offensive player in the Big 12. And along with that is, I don't think D.D. Lamb gets enough credit.
C.D. Lamb.
Yeah, he can absolutely fly. And I think he's one of the stars in the Big 12, too. Now, all you have to do is hand it off to Rodney. You don't have to do very much but turn around and get it to him or dump it off to him. He just makes things happen. I think he's outstanding.
Well,
but how do you get the ball down the field? That's going to be the one for me.
Right. C.D. Lamb is a star. I mean, there's no doubt about that. We saw him last year emerge. And you know, the running back didn't come on until midseason. I mean, he was, you know, when he got inserted into their lineup and really took control of their running game, they became unstoppable as an offense because you knew they had Baker. You knew they had weapons. The big tight end, Andrews, was outstanding.
That's right.
You know, I still can't believe they lost that Georgia game in the semifinals when they were in full control of that football game.
And looking like it was going to be a cakewalk.
Yeah. And second half, of course, you know, Mike Stoops' defense just gets pushed around and Georgia starts pounding the rock with Nick Chubb and Sony Michel. And next thing you know, the game's a ball game. You get to the fourth quarter into overtime and you know, I'm still not sure about some of that play calling and whether Baker Mayfield was 100%, whatever was going on there. But either way, I still, having watched that entire game, I still can't believe Oklahoma lost that game, which, of course, would have put them into the national title game and prevented an all-SEC championship game when you had Georgia and Alabama.
Right.
I still am angry as a sports fan and a college football fan that we didn't get to see Baker Mayfield against, you know, Nick Saban and that Alabama defense. And, you know, what that would have could have meant for the Big 12 to go through two big-time SEC titans to win a national title, and that's what Baker came back for, but didn't happen. And Georgia found a way, and Georgia went and played for the national title, which they lost in overtime to Alabama.
But so, I love the fact that you still have two stars coming back on that team.
Yeah, that's right. And that's right. But the trigger man was the biggest star.
Absolutely.
And the trigger man was a six-year senior who was a coach on the field who had such a connection with the head coach and the play caller that those two were – like symbiotic in what they did. What about Kyler Murray? We know he's just going to be back for 1 year. It's, you know, he's going to go off and play baseball with the Oakland A's. I mean, that's a storyline to watch for. I mean, again, when I talk about quarterbacks and uncertainty at that position, I mean, that's the storyline with seven or eight of the teams, including the Longhorns. I mean, the Longhorns will be here tomorrow, and you know, we assume locally that it's going to be Sam Ehlinger. But you know, I was talking to a lot of folks here that are covering from all over the Big 12 last night at dinner. That, you know, they're asking the question, is it Bouchel, is it Ehlinger? You know, because Bouchel started 19 games, Ehlinger just six. There's an assumption that, you know, this could be just Shane Bouchel's
team.
Well,
I've talked about the fact that Shane Bouchel's now a junior in college. He's not like a little kid anymore. And seeing him earlier in the spring, he just said, I'm not letting things mentally get to me about competition. He said, I'm here now 3 years. I'm going to do what I can do, and I'm not going to let the stuff that surrounds me when there's talk about, well, you don't do this well, you don't do that well, but you've won this many games and you've been in games. He said, I'm just going to go play football now. And I think that's going to take a lot off of him when it comes to him. He's such a nice kid. I think he worries so much about what people think. And the competition itself, he doesn't have to – now he doesn't have to jump into the fray. He's going to be good enough to play.
Yeah.
He's going to be – and he feels like he's good enough to play. And he's not going to let the stuff on the outside worry him about playing. He's going to be himself. He's not – you know, I think he's been almost forced to be a rah-rah guy. He said, I'm not worrying about that stuff anymore. I'm going to be who I am. I'm going to let what I do on the field – I don't have to be as boisterous if I make him plays.
Right.
That's proof enough.
Production is the key.
Yes.
Right? And we've talked about Bouchel ad nauseum, and, of course, Texas will be the center of attention tomorrow. But that's true. I mean, when you look at you coached a long time. When kids are true freshmen, 18 years old, and they've been the starting quarterback of their high school, they've got to learn to compete. I mean, they've got to learn to compete against other really good players. I mean, that's not just for quarterbacks. That's for every position. That's one of the transitions of high school, because most of these guys walk in, they were a star in high school.
Mm-hmm.
In college? A lot of stars. They were all stars. Who learns to compete? And that's where Bouchel is. You know, year one, the system that Sterling Gilbert was running with Charlie Strong was perfect for him. To get the ball out of your hands quick, the quick passing game, short passes, then long passes. But last year, he and Sam Ehlinger were kind of in a flat-footed tie to start this thing. It was a brand-new offense, brand-new coaching staff. And, you know, I think by the end of last year, there was a sense that it was Ehlinger's team.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe it still is. Maybe we hear that from Tom Herman, and at least between the lines tomorrow. But again, this is as good a quarterback situation as Texas has had in a decade, because they have if it is indeed Sam Ehlinger's team, because he's a better fit for the offense, and his running and his legs bring that to what Tom wants to do. And Tim Beck, you've got a backup quarterback who's started 19 games in Big 12 football.
Yeah.
I mean, that gives you some confidence as a coaching staff.
And what I want to see out of Shane Bouchel is the fact that I don't want him running. I want him making quick decisions, getting rid of the ball.
But that's not this offense.
Yeah, well, I understand that. But I think if he's accurate, his accuracy, and gets rid of the ball, and he knows where the ball is going, he's got a nice combination of weapons on the outside where guys can get open. He can make throws. He doesn't have to take off, because when he takes off, I feel like somebody's going to hit him. He's going to go down. He's not going to get up again. I've seen too many times he doesn't fall right. He just, for some odd reason, when he gets hit funny and things don't happen for him. When I talk about production, if Shane Bouchel can produce, as I said, do those things like that, it doesn't matter. You don't have to be the rah-rah guy when you're producing. We've seen what happens with Sam. Sam can do some things too, but sometimes his production ends up being turnovers and things like that. That's not going to help your team if you're turning the ball over.
Right.
So he's going to get better at that too. But if Shane, I like the competition, as you said. Either one of them makes a great backup because they've been in games. Now, I think the better fit, of course, is Sam Ehlinger. I mean, I hope that's what it is. But Tom Herman's not going to give us any indications on that. He's just going to talk about competition.
Yeah. But again, if you kind of listen to the players kind of give you a feel that this is, they feel like it's Sam's team. And that's, you know, whether they're right or wrong. And that can change with a month of competition in August and how the summer has gone for Texas.
Yeah, when the bullets are really flying,
yeah.
Yes.
And remember, for people that when we talk about Sam Ehlinger, it all becomes about turnovers. He did have huge turnovers in huge spots, but he started a grand total of 6 games in college football. He's a very inexperienced player, and, you know, those mistakes. Now, that's one of those things that if it continues to happen, then it becomes a major problem. But you can clean those things up. You can improve.
We saw it at the end of the season. We saw it in the bowl game.
Yeah. And by the bowl game, after the 2 weeks of bowl practice, you saw an Ehlinger that was a little more careful with the football, you know, taking the precautions.
Well, so, everybody and their mother was in his ear about it.
Sure. Absolutely. And it's got to be. I mean, that's one of those things that it's a fine line with a quarterback. You want that gunslinger mentality. You want someone who's willing to take a chance and try to make a play when a play is there to be made. Heck, Baker Mayfield, there was no one better than that. I mean, he would make a play out of nothing. But you also have to know when to say when and not turn the football over late in games, of course. But that's a process. I mean, you know, Baker Mayfield started as a true freshman at Texas Tech as a walk-on, and he made his share of mistakes, but he showed this kid could really play. Heck, it was 5 years later when he was winning a Heisman Trophy at Oklahoma, and that's the evolution of players, and that's where certainly Texas fans hope this is the evolution of a program. This is year two. A lot of these guys have played a lot of football, more experience. So Texas, one of the interesting storylines from Big 12 football media days. The other quarterback I was thinking about, because we're talking about Texas Tech, Davis Webb. Think about that. 3 years ago, that program had Davis Webb, Pat Mahomes, and Baker Mayfield. Give Cliff Kingsbury some credit for that, because You know, Pat Mahomes was a first-round draft pick, number 10 overall by the Chiefs. Baker Mayfield was the first pick. And Davis Webb was a third-round pick of the Giants. All three of those guys are playing in the National Football League right now. But that will be one of the interesting things for Cliff. What does he have now? Who are his quarterbacks? What does he have left? Because those three guys were really high level, but he can only give the ball to one of them. You know, so this will be intriguing.
You know, and as Lincoln Riley grows into his position in year number two, I mean, he's got Cale Gundy. He's got an offensive coordinator who was in his first year last year. So a young guy we saw him play quarterback before. This was his first year at the University of Oklahoma,
Mike
too.
Mike Gundy's brother.
Yeah, so now you're looking at, you know what I mean? You're looking at.
But, I mean, and this is something with Lincoln Riley that a lot of Texas fans hope will change. Lincoln Riley's the offensive coordinator. Lincoln Riley's got the sheet in front of him. He's got the headset on. He's talking to the quarterback. He's in charge of that offense. And that's where, you know, if Tom Herman comes back and he's going to get asked this question this week or tomorrow, hey, are you going to take more control of the offense? You're going to be calling plays. Well, you know, I don't want to. Well, Lincoln, to the national championship level, was calling all the plays. I mean, if it's your offense, it's your offense.
If it starts hurting your wins and losses, then you need to, because that's what you're known to do.
Well, and look, Tom Herman's doesn't have to tell you in the offseason, but he's going to be asked that question. You know, at Oklahoma, it is. You know, look, Gary Patterson's here with TCU. Gary Patterson runs the defense. Sonny Cumbie runs his offense. That is clear as day.
Right.
At Texas Tech. Cliff Kingsbury runs the offense. He's calling the plays.
So, Coach, what is it that you do here?
I understand coaches want to be above it and let their coaches coach, but if it's Tom Herman's offense, then run the offense. I mean, if people are concerned about Tim Beck and Tim Beck's play calling and whatever he does on game days, Tom, that's what you were hired for, and making $5.5 million was to run the offense. And there's a guy up at Oklahoma who's running the offense and working with his quarterbacks. But again, Lincoln's got to show me he can do it again with a new quarterback and not a guy like Baker Mayfield, who was essentially a coach on the field.
Tom Herman's not going to let things continue to go in a direction.
But that's not an unfair question to ask. Hey, Tom, who's in charge of this offense? Is it your offense? Or is it Tim Beck's offense? How is this going to play out?
Is it Coach Hands? I mean, who?
Yeah, what's Herb Hands' role? Are his hands all over it? Who's going to be calling plays on game day? Because, again, Tom Herman opened himself up to this because the offense was so bad, and he did take control and call a lot of the plays in the bowl game. So that'll be a storyline tomorrow. Cliff Kingsbury will be center of attention today, along with Gary Patterson, Lincoln Riley, of course, Matt Campbell, the young coach at Iowa State, and Kansas with Coach David Beatty. We're coming back. We roll all morning long, live at Big 12 Football Media Days. We'll take your good, bad, and ugly from the busy weekend. Love to hear from you on that. But the goodest of the good, as we say, is that we're talking football, and a lot of it, live here from the Ford Center Star Complex in Frisco, Texas. It's B&E on the Horn.
It's Bucky and Aaron.
Monday on the Horn, the good, the bad, and the ugly from the busy weekend. Hope you had a great one. We've talked about the World Cup. France is your champion, as I think a lot of people thought would be the case, as they take down Croatia 4-2. We'll recap that for you coming up. Also, Wimbledon with high drama as well on the world stage. Baseball hits its all-star break with the Home Run Derby tonight. A lot of Astro fans will be rooting for Alex Bregman, who will be the lone American League participant tonight. The other seven are from the National League, including Kyle Schwarber, who Bregman will face tonight in his first matchup. Of course, Bryce Harper, the Washington Nationals, will be a part of that as the homestanding superstar who's having not such an all-star season. A lot of grumblings in D.C. about Bryce Harper. It might be thought that they may consider trading him before the deadline. It seems crazy, but they have to sign him to a contract in the offseason, and if they are concerned about that and he's not performing to all-star levels, maybe they think about it, but that would be a shock to a lot of people.
Well, he wasn't performing to regular levels the other day. He hit into a double play where he jogged down the first base and didn't run it out, and his manager was none too – he was not very happy about what he did, and they had a little private get-together, and is Bryce Harper just kind of getting ready for next year already?
Well, that's – you know, and
he just doesn't seem like that kind of guy.
Is that free agency weighing on him, and, you know, where's his mental state? Those things will be discussed.
Oh, yeah. He'll have a money problem.
Yeah, no, he will not. he and Manny Machado. Of course, Machado in the same thing. It was interesting. The Rangers were playing the Orioles yesterday. And typical Rangers, they jumped out with a grand slam early in the game and looked like they were in a cruise. But by the time a rain delay hit in the sixth inning, the Rangers were trailing that game or was back tied. But when they came back from the rain delay and the field was squishy after a pretty heavy rainstorm at Camden Yard, Buck Showalter left Manny Machado on the bench. just for precaution. They do not need this guy pulling a hamstring or tweaking anything
no.
because they're going to trade him
it's
in the next 2 weeks.
Yes.
The last thing they need is all of a sudden he's damaged goods. So Showalter in an obvious sign saying, no, we're going to put someone else in there. Manny, you're out because you're too valuable to us right now.
Absolutely.
Because we're going to trade you for about 3 or 4 or 5 or 6 or how many prospects we can get from the Phillies or the Yankees, whoever the real suitors are. For Manny Machado. So baseball will take some center stage with the Home Run Derby. As I mentioned, I was privileged on Friday night to be at the Astros game at Minute Maid Park and sitting right down behind the Astros dugout. Alex Bregman is such a star. I mean, that guy, he's got the easiest, quickest swing. I mean, since he's been up, one of the comparisons I've had for him was Paul Molitor. He just he's built like that, and he's just a hit machine. But, boy, the power. I mean, the way the ball explodes off of his bat. You hope this Home Run Derby thing he's doing, you know, Bregman's kind of a young, cocky, brash guy. He loves being a part of this. He's excited to be on the national stage and show that he's got some pop to him. You hope he doesn't screw up his swing, but his swing is so simple. It's one of the easiest swings you'll
right.
ever see. And we saw him on Friday night hit a home run. He hit a double. You know, he leads. He's second in the American League in doubles. He's got 20 home runs. He's just got pop in that bat. He is tremendous.
He's a different swinger than Aaron Judge, who's not going to do that now. That's a totally different.
Yeah, Bregman's just a short.
Right. Aaron Judge is a power swinger that screwed himself up last year by being in that. Because then he went on to absolutely thinking he was in the Home Run Derby, and everything he swung at was trying to get a home run.
But when you're trying to hit home runs, you're opening up, and you're trying to lift everything. And you're good hitters. Consistent hitters stay
good
on the
hitters.
Ball. Stay on the ball. Think up the middle. Think going the other way.
They're not looking for home runs.
Ball, bat through the zone long, and let's hope for Bregman because Bregman's been. I mean, the Astros quite honestly are slumping right now offensively. Outside of Bregman, Evan Gattis was torrid for a while, but he's cooled off just a little bit. No one's gonna. Astros are 29 games over 500 and lead the division. They're fine, but they need to get Carlos Correa back. They need to get and start extending that lineup. The kid Kyle Tucker's come up and really hadn't hit much yet. The back end of their lineup, when you get to Marwin Gonzalez and Kyle Tucker and these guys, it's just not doing a lot, which is making it easier for pitchers to pitch around guys. And George Springer, with Springer slumping and Correa out of the lineup, you can kind of try to pitch around Bregman and Altuve as much as possible. But we'll see. Baseball will resume in earnest next weekend. It's the All-Star break for 6 Astros. It's good to see Charlie Morton. That's a good for me on a Monday. I get added to that team. He's a 33-year-old guy who's never been to an All-Star game. He's going to go. The top three for the Astros will be at the All-Star game, Verlander, Cole, and Morton. And then, of course, their big three stars in Bregman, Springer, and Altuve will be there as well. Carlos Correa is still on the disabled list. So we'll take your good, your bad, and your ugly from the busy weekend outside of football. But obviously football taking center stage with Big 12 Football Media Days. It's also SEC Media Days.
Well, and I was just getting ready to comment on that. And I watched a lot of that on TV over the last 24 hours. And, this conference, the Big 12 conference, it'll be interesting to see what the commissioner has to say. Because you and I, 2 years ago, we're going – wait a minute, is Oklahoma and Texas getting out of this thing? The contract's coming up. Where does the Big 12 stand right now? We'll hear from the commissioner today. But I watched that SEC conference, and that is a show unto itself. And them having a network is huge. And this conference not having a Big 12 network is not huge. It's something that they need to work on. Or we'll be back to that whole thing again, where is Oklahoma leaving? Is Texas leaving? Where should they go? Where should they land? But that conference with a SEC network is dynamite. It just is.
Right.
I mean, it's done a lot for their conference. It gives them exposure like no other. And for this conference not to have a TV network, here we are sitting in this beautiful complex and not having a real live network. The Longhorns are very happy with collecting $15 million every year from ESPN. But for the rest of this conference, boy, you just kind of get left out. Oklahoma's never going to be left out. But I'll just say this. That's got to be one of the questions that has to be talked about eventually if this conference is going to stay together.
Well, and again, when the granting of rights are up, and the one thing that has been true for the last 3 years since we've been up here, the changing world of media, with the Amazons in the world, the Googles in the world that are coming online, the Netflix, I mean, all these things, when you do your next media deal, what's that going to look like? And the media rights deal, the world is changing so quickly on that front.
Yeah, but you have nothing, you know what I mean?
But yeah, you have nothing, and that's right. And that's, look, there were some people who speculate that the big moves made this offseason, Kansas, who was here today with David Beatty, they hired Jeff Long, as a new athletic director. Remember, Jeff was at Arkansas. He was the head of the college football playoff committee. He's got a high standing. And, of course, Texas brings in Chris Del Conte, and Chris Del Conte brought in Sean Eichhorst, who had been at Nebraska. Eichhorst is going to come in and be the right-hand man to Chris Del Conte, handling everything internal. But a lot of people look at that and think, you know,
I expect Chris will be up here this week.
Oh, I would imagine Chris Del Conte will be part of the traveling party tomorrow. But Eichhorst and Long at Texas and at Kansas with Chris Del Conte, there's some people that wonder if that's kind of lining things up for Kansas and Texas to join the Big Ten Conference when it opens up, that would be the first choice. Now, does Texas want to lose their affiliation with Oklahoma? That becomes a question. But there are a lot of people in the college football circles and college athletics landscape that think the Big Ten, if they want to go to 16, the two teams they would want the most would be Kansas.
Purdue basketball.
Because of location and basketball, and just it kind of fits the Midwest style of the Big Ten, and Texas. Because everybody would want Texas. Again, those discussions will not stop. They kind of come and go and ebb and flow based on conversations. But you're right. I mean, the Big 12 having these today and tomorrow, we'll be here and we'll be all over it. But, a lot of the national media that's usually here are going to be in Atlanta at SEC Media Days. I mean, the big name, and of course, ESPN, what are they going to cover the most? What is Fox going to cover the most? They're going to cover Nick Saban. They're going to cover Georgia, of course, coming off last year's national title game. That will get a majority of the attention, and I'm assuming that will be, as you said, one of the questions for Bob Bowlsby today. He'll have his State of the Conference press conference at 9 o'clock this morning. We'll be still on the air when that's going on, so maybe we'll carry some of it. We did last year, and it kind of put us to sleep, so we turned it off, if you remember that. We went live to it, and wasn't so hot. But, yes.
I just think they have to make a move somehow. I mean, whether it's Netflix, I don't care if it's Hulu or something. This conference has to come together and find something that's good for all of them, like the SEC does. You can be mad at the SEC, and they boast about how great they are, and then you start going looking at bowl games, and you're saying, well, not so much. But when it comes to flat-out money and television rights, that production that I saw over the last 24 hours has been spectacular. They're inside of the dome. They're outside of the – they're everywhere. I mean, it's a special event, and we'll come here today, and the only one that'll have a network is the Longhorns. I mean, you have to have a television network if you're going to remain a part of it. And over the last couple of years, Oklahoma's been a big part in the national picture, but they need a network to back that. You need a conference network. Longhorn fans. I don't know how you do that. I don't know how you wheel and deal it. But you have to come together for your conference, or you're going to have to get out of your conference. You're going to have to get out of this place.
That's been my thought for years. In 2024, when the granting of rights is up, that'll be the thing will disperse. But we'll see. The people will doubt that, and they want to keep it together and add to it, but that's not happened. All right, it's Big 12 Football Media Days, day one of two. It's brought to you by Reliable Automotive. Keep it local. Keep it reliable. Appreciate them for being partners with us on this event. Thrilled to be here. We've got, as we said, and we'll continue it all morning, we've got Texas Tech, Oklahoma, Iowa State, Kansas, and TCU. Bottom of the next hour, we'll talk to the voice of the Horned Frogs, his preview of TCU in 2018. Hope to hear from Gary Patterson today as well. Of course, Cliff Kingsbury and the Red Raiders, Lincoln Riley and the Sooners. Longhorns will be here tomorrow as part of five more teams and players. But five to focus on today, five more tomorrow. Coming back, we'll reset your headlines, hit our coach's corner, and as we mentioned, we'll talk to the voice of the TCU Horned Frogs, get a preview of TCU in 2018. It's B&E on the Horn.